of testing. And I did a kind of a series, I guess about 2011 or 2012, and I did it in two or three sections, but one of them was seasons of testing. And I mean, God's people has to come to the place to where, I mean, that we don't like tests, but we realize that it's a season. It's a season in our life, and during these seasons of testing, God promotes the ones that will yield to a right spirit, stay in the right spirit. I mean, there's different seasons in our lives that comes. I was thinking about when my mom passed away 10, 11 years ago, 12. I really forgot how long it was. I don't go to the graveyard much because they're not there. You know, I mean, there's a tombstone there, but they're not there. They're in heaven. You know, if they were born again, they were in heaven. They're in heaven. But I was thinking about it. We went, and we buried my sister the other day, and Teresa wanted to go by and take pictures of the tombstones that was there, you know, because she couldn't remember when people, how long it'd been, this and that and all that. And I was thinking about that. And I remember when my mom passed away, I really cared for mom. All of my family did, but primarily she would call me about everything, you know, and I really enjoyed that, because I didn't have a good relationship with my parents till I got born again. See, Jesus changes everything for us. I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't, a lot of things in the family, I'm not gonna get into all of that, but Jesus changed everything. But I was thinking about it. I was thinking about how the Lord told me about this time is when he started giving these sermons on seasons. And seasons bring change. Every season in our life will bring change. And when she passed away, I felt lonely, and I felt I didn't have purpose, you know, somewhat. I felt that way, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, he said, this is a season where you've got to praise me for the life that you had with her, you know, and all of that. See, that season brought a season that I'd never been in. See, I was lost when I lost my dad, and I didn't have no hope. See, people without God, they don't have any hope. They don't have anybody to lean on, you know, that can help them usually. I mean, they're without God, the Bible says, they're without hope, you know. And even born-again believers, you know, born-again people have to do like Johnny was talking about. You got to want him. You got to go after him. You've got to do the things that, as we develop, that he quickens us, that we know to be the will of God for our lives. And there's times that these things come, and they come to challenge us, you know. And, you know, in the ministry, the Bible says some plants, some waters, and God gives the increase, you know, and that's our life. I mean, we're all ministers of the Lord, but we're just mailmen, you know. I'm a mailman for my family, you know. And so when that season come, and I went to the Lord one time, and I said, Lord, what if somebody don't have a chance to get right with you, you know? I mean, I'm young in the Lord, and I'm wondering, you know, people dying without knowing. And the Lord, he told me, no one will leave the planet. No one will leave the planet. See, that was a season of wondering. I was wondering about that, because I felt a call to evangelize, and I mean, I want everybody to come to Jesus, you know, and had that. Now my anointing is I want everybody to get victory. You know, I mean, I want everybody to be strong and strong in faith, not just here, but all over the world. But anyways, anyhow, the Lord told me, he said, you've got to cast that care of losing your mother on me and focus in on that energy in on something else. You know, so why I'm telling you that is, when you get in seasons of testing, don't focus on the trial. You cannot focus on that. It'll steal your faith. It'll steal the word. You know, it'll steal your joy. It'll take your vision. You know, you'll feel like life's not worth living. You know, you wouldn't think. I mean, somebody that stays strong in the Lord, you won't experience that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, the challenge will come, the testing will come, but you won't give in to it, you know, and you won't just sit there and mourn. I was sitting at a funeral one time, and the Lord, I'm sitting there, you know, and people are sad. Most people are lost in there. You can just tell because of the heaviness and the, I mean, I know when I go to funerals and most of the people are saved, there's a peace in that place. But when you go where a lot of people is lost, you know, there's a heaviness, there's a loneliness, there's an oppression in the atmosphere, you know. But anyhow, I'm sitting there in that funeral, and the Lord spoke to me. And I knew the scripture. The Lord said, he said, you've got it. He said, people's got it wrong on the earth. You know, and I thought, what's God talking about here? You know, and he said, the Bible says for us to mourn when they're born. Sad when babies are born. Oh, my God, they're born on this planet, man. We got to. And rejoice when they go. I'm sitting there, and he said, he was trying to teach me. He wasn't telling me to get up and say nothing in that funeral home. But he was telling me, you know, mourn when they're born. The Bible says it. Mourn when they're born and rejoice when they leave. And so when my mama left, I'm telling you, praise God, I couldn't get sad and all that. I felt the miss and the loneliness. But when I really thought about reality, that season brought joy to me because my mama is not going through, her sister died. I think it was her last sister. And she called me up and I went over there and she said, I want to go to the funeral. I said, okay. I said, if I have to tote you to the funeral, you're going. You know, so they get her ready, and she had a hole in her back that wouldn't heal up. She's 80-something years old and had a hole in her back. And I don't know the full battles that she had, and we don't, that people face here. When they go through, we see them periodically or whatever the case might be, but they live in that battle, you know. But anyways, I said, this really wasn't in my message, but I don't know why I'm having to go this route, but that's fine. God knows what he's doing. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And so I go mom calls me up and I said, well, are you ready, mom? I said, I'll be there at whatever time it was. She said, yeah, I'll be ready. So I get over there and she's ready. They got her fixed, her makeup on, and all that, you know. And so I picked her up. And I got her out to the living room. I'm toting her. She's bedridden. And I got her to the living room and she started crying, telling me, take me back. I can't take the pain. I can't take the pain. You know, I said, okay. I said, all right. So I took her back and I put her in the bed. Then I ministered to her. And I told her, I said, your sister's not there anyways, Mom. I said, Aunt Ruth was born again. I said, she's not there anymore. She's gone on to heaven. And I said, the Bible says for you to rejoice. I said, you rejoice because she is where we are longing to be. See, this life is short. If we live to be 120, this life is short. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, you know. I mean, this life is like a puff of wind, man. I mean, you know, in reality. But where we're going, but we can live in heaven now. We can rejoice now. In heaven on earth, have heaven on earth, if. I mean, it's just like salvation. I mean, he said, Isaiah, I believe it is 119, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. All we got to do is be, like we was talking about, those that are led by the Spirit, open, to, willing to yield to. And when the Lord brings a message to us, you know, that hits where we live, don't just think that that's just normal. That's God getting his word to us that bears fruit, that'll bring joy and peace and vision, you know. And just like winter, when winter gets here, I used to almost get oppressed every winter because I'm an outside person. I'm a gardener. I'm a build something. I'm a change things, you know, and all of that. And then winter sets in, your grass ain't growing, everything looks dead, you know, there ain't no leaves on the trees, and I mean, I'm looking right now, and I looked out there a while ago, and or earlier today, and I told Teresa, I said, there's color in the fruit trees. You know what that means? Life's coming on, hallelujah, you know? And I thought that's the way it is in the spirit, though. You know, every season we can bear fruit. Every season, it's you know, but things in the winter, they're not dead. Trees are not dead. Some of they're just lying dormant. I believe they got to have a season of rest. See, and when we yield the right way in a season of testing, it brings rest, even though we're in that test. See, even in the winter time, you know, I mean, I used to really not like springtime for one reason, because it brought storms. I used to be afraid of storms, afraid of tornadoes and all of that, because of an image of people that lived above me throwed across a pasture and threw the pasture fence and tore their house apart, and they were in it and almost took ours. But when I got born again, I read the scripture where Jesus was in the hinder part of that ship and he was asleep, and he told the guys, he said, come on, get in, let's go to the other side. See, if they'd have just hung on that word, they wouldn't have been scared in the storm, I don't believe. We can't die out here. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. But you know, I read that story, you know, and then I seen how Jesus told them, he says, where's your faith? In other words, man, you know, why are you scared of this storm? I've been teaching you the word. Well, see, that season, they yielded to fear. They yielded to what that storm could do. They gonna drown, they gonna go under, you know, and all of that stuff. And you know, just like pastoring the church, a brother in the Lord, you know, he quit pastoring because he said it's just one cycle. He said, you get them in, you get them saved, then they go, you know, go through diaper stage and all of that stuff, you know. And I mean, he created an image in his own thinking of the experience he had, and then he couldn't take the testing. So he closed the church. Well, people come to church, you know, and you bid them to come to church, and you're all excited, you know, and they come to church. But one thing about Jesus is that he's not a pushy Lord. He's a wooing. He's a drawing, where Satan is different. He will not enforce his will on me and you, even in testing, no matter how long we've been in it. But for people to get born again and go after the Lord, if they don't, it's like Teresa's told me before. She said, have we done everything right? Because people come, you know, and then they'll quit church and blah, 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 you know. And Satan would like to make people think, you think, could you have done something different, they'd have got saved, like, you know, the enemy does that. The enemy does that. And I've told Teresa, I said, no, we've done everything that we know to do. We've been preaching. Maybe we could have fasted till we fell apart. You know, maybe we could have come down here and spent a week down here crying at the altar. You know, maybe. You know, maybe. But the thing about it is, I told her, I said, no, people have choices. And we can't take the responsibility on us of people's choices. See, that's a season of testing that when we start going through tests, whether it's church or going to church. I like Mark Hankins. I don't know if anybody knows him or not, but you know Mark Hankins. I was listening to a sermon, and he pulled up, and he pulled up this church, and people, he's going to preach there, and people's just coming to church, you know. And he said, and I'm sitting there, and he said, I love people that go to church. I love people that go to church. He said, I love people that go to church. He said, that's dedicated to show dedication to God, you know. He said, training your kids. And he said, I got arrested when I was 17 years old. He said, and it was on a Wednesday. He said, so I called my parents and them. You know, y'all come get me. And he said, my mom said, we got church tonight. In other words, they just told him, hey, well, you won't get out today. We'll see you tomorrow. Well, they're not even going to let their son in church, in jail, stop them from church. You know, and I thought, man, that's dedication. He said, and because of that, he's a worldwide minister now. He said, and because of that, he said, church was a foundation of my being saved and staying saved. And it really is. If you're going to have strength to stand in the storms, you've got to have the word preached to us. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? People are called to minister. People that stay in there and stay in the will of God, you know, they're not in their own strength. They got their seasons of trials that they're going through. You have yours, you know, and everything. And if everybody stays strong and yields to the right spirit while we're going through the trials, it strengthens the whole body. It strengthens the whole body, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. Why? Because we have been given authority over principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We can really see them out front now. Out front, in the media, on the streets. No respect for Christians like, well, I've never seen it, and that's fine. We're not crybabies. We serve Jesus. They went against Paul and them for serving the Lord. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, James, John, Matthew, all of them. Popular or whatever. Christians are not in this hour. Why? Because darkness is covering the earth. But see, when we feel the spirit, me and Teresa last night, I share this stuff because it's going to happen to you. I mean, me and Teresa, we get the grandkids on Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, you know, and house since has born Aiden for sure. Aubrey about 3 months maybe into it or whatever, and now it's, they would pay us to get them. They like their free night on Tuesday, man. You know, they almost get depressed if we ain't going to get them. But anyhow, I'm sitting there and I got off the phone with somebody and I just felt anger. I felt like, I mean, it was not a bad conversation at all. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Not talking about nothing. But I just felt angry. I just felt like a spirit just come in the living room. Teresa comes in, she feels the same thing. We'll talk about it later, you know. She felt like I could hurt him. Me, and I ain't done nothing. So I just go on and I'm blow drying Aubrey's hair and I'm pulling it. She said, ow, pow, pow. And I'm like, I'm not even pulling it. It's okay. I guess she felt it too. But you know what we didn't do? We did not yield in that season of testing. What I believe it was a demonic spirit. People, Christians don't believe they're real. When you feel angry for no reason and irritated for no reason, you better put it in the bank and know what I'm telling you tonight, that they are spirits of division and things and all these things that is on this earth that we have power over if we don't yield to them. You can't yield to how you feel. I know, I went through with Travis and he quit church. I pulled him out of ministry. His heart wasn't really after the Lord anymore like he should. And he's up here singing. And I pulled him out of ministry. I took him out, you know. And I told him, I said, you're not going to get up there before the people with a wrung heart. It's not going to happen. You've got nothing to minister. And I knew whenever I was entering that season that I had done made that choice that I was taking a chance on losing him. In the natural, but I also knew the scripture that said, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart. So I yielded to the word, not my feelings and emotions, in that trial. And where is he at? That's exactly right. He quit for 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe not that long. And now that put Beth in a season. A season of not knowing, insecurity, and blah, 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 and trials at home, and all that. So, me and Teresa then steps in, and we begin to minister to her. Stay in church. That's the main thing we told her. Come on to church. Now, I'm a little bigger on it than Teresa. Teresa's like, get right. Then come on to church, we teach you. But you know what? We ministered to her. She stayed in church, and that's what we do. But you know, it was not our choice what they did. We didn't try to enforce our will, and we didn't go against either one of them. And I mean, we just did our part and stood our ground and prayed and fasted and bound the enemy and all of that off of it, praise God. And see, that season did bring change. Travis changed. He did. And so we got to realize, you know, the seasons that we enter into, and this won't be the only season. There's seasons, I mean, seasons are changing. The world is changing. God is bringing change to the body of Christ. He's taking us, he's bringing us on in to take us up higher in him, higher in the things of God, deeper in the anointing and deeper in the grace. I was thinking about the scripture today. He says, humble yourself therefore in the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. You know, but he says, humble. And then he says, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I'm getting in the shower, and he spoke that to me. And he said, all those times, he said, I sent you, and I went to meetings and different things, and I couldn't understand because there's a lot of things that I wouldn't do at this church that they were doing at their church and kind of promoting it and all that. And the Lord would say, open the door for them. You go in last. And I didn't know what God really was doing. I mean, I didn't understand, you know. I'm like, I don't really understand, God, what's going on, but I don't have to. Don't the Bible say in Proverbs 3:5, for us to lean not to our own understanding? Don't it? Don't do that. Don't say, why me, Lord? I don't understand, God, why I feel so bad. I don't understand, you know, I don't understand, you know. Don't get into all of that. That is the arena of the enemy. If you don't, just say, I don't understand everything and I don't have to, God. But God, I praise you right now in this storm that I'm in. In this season of testing, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise my way through this. I'm going to praise my way out. Now, that takes faith to do that because you don't feel like it. You feel, I mean, you could feel lonely. You could feel like Jesus out in the wilderness. You know, you can be around a whole bunch of people and still be empty on the inside. You can laugh and smile and still be depleted on the inside. See, you can't win the test if you're depleted spiritually. Because the testings and things that we go through, I mean, you might make it through. The world makes it through things. But they make it through without God, and they end up suffering loss and wish their life would have been better. And people don't look at people that's not sacrificing for the things of God and church and all that and think they've got it made. They don't got it made. They don't even believe they've got it made. They've got nobody to lean on in times that they need the power of God and strength. They don't got it. But we do. Seasons always promote people when they go God's way in it. When they go God's way in the season they're in. What does that mean? That means try your best to do things the way God would do it when you're in that test. Whether it's a financial test or a physical test, I speak to my body all the time. I speak to it and I say, thank you, Lord, my pancreas is good. Thank you, Lord, my brain is getting smarter. Thank you, Lord, I'm getting sharper. Thank you, Lord, I'm getting better looking every day the older I get. But God, I'm not going to let my mind go down to below what the Word of God says about me. Not going to do it. When my marriage is going through troubled waters, I don't get out there telling everybody I come around, well, it was a good day to me and my wife, good God, blah, blah, blah. They never know it till later. Why? Because when I'm in a battle, the Bible says a wise man has few words. A wise man. It says the tongue of the righteous words are healing, one translation says. They're words of healing. But you know what? If you're full of the cares and you're full of the oppression and you're full, you're just going to be miserable. Nothing anybody does is going to bring you any happiness. See, happy and joy are two different things. happiness usually comes when all my bills are paid, and I'm not having to believe God for that. And Teresa's acting right, and Travis is, and all of y'all's at church. But joy comes when I don't got all the money, because the joy comes from the Lord. Yes. Joy comes when everybody ain't in church. Joy comes when all of my bills ain't paid up, and I don't know what I'm going to do week after next. See, you can have joy in the middle of the trial, no matter what it is, because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that joy only comes through staying in union with Him, staying one with Him. What would Jesus do if he was in a ship in the trial you're in? Rest, wouldn't he? See, and that's something that we have to learn how to do. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil. And then one place says, casting all of your care over on the Lord. And I find myself a lot, Mac, I have ever since I've been saved, you know, having to say, God, I just cast this over on you. I cast this bill on you. I cast this trouble on you. I cast my sister's family on you, Lord, that they just lost her. And I'm not going to feel sad and sorry for them. I'm believing God that God is going to, He's a big God. And I just released my faith that He's going to strengthen every one of them. And you know what? I have went through. You ever heard that song? I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. I'm going through with Jesus. We got to look that song up. We got to have it. I don't even remember it, but it just come up in my spirit, you know. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. I done been through a few of them storms. With my daddy, it took me a year. I was devastated. I was lost without Jesus. I fell apart on the inside. But now with my mama, I was saved, bless God. And I came through that storm way different than I came through the storm without Jesus. Because I had a joy, not that my flesh wasn't feeling it, but on the inside, had a knowing, everything's going to be all right, Lord. I've got Travis, and, you know, going to have kids, and this and that, and I've got Travis, and I've got a life ahead of me. But see, you can't let the trial, you can't let the trial get you focused on it. You can't let Teresa, I have to train myself to stay at the house if she's not there. I feel lonely, and she's just down here. I mean, I go home and try to take a little nap if she ain't there, because I go in and I tell her it's time to take a nap. She'll say, I ain't got time to tell you right now. I ain't got time to take no nap. Now I'm busy. It's going to be loud in here. And I'll be like, well, that's okay. I can block you out. But when she ain't there, I just can't go to sleep. I'm like, man, I wish you wouldn't stay down there. Get on back here, you know, blah, blah. Well, I've had to say, Lord, help me get a little nap here. Help me cut my mind. See, but when I cut my mind off, poof, I'm asleep. See, no matter what the trial is, you have to learn how to control your mind. You need powers of concentration. You need to build powers of concentration. I have to work on it all the time. Because I'm like, it tries to burn my mind up. Like if I have a barn going on, that barn tries to stay on my mind day and night, just drive me, just that my every thought. And I'll have to cast those thoughts out. I'll say, nope, barn, you're not controlling me. See, that seasons of testing coming, and if we yield the wrong way and get our mind on what the test is and let that consume us, then it'll steal the power of God out of our hearts, the Word of God, the faith of God, the joy of the Lord, hallelujah, which is our strength. I know people are hurting, but you know what? He heals the brokenhearted, right? Let's still press, go free, right? Hallelujah. Well, if I believe that, then I've got to yield to that He heals the brokenhearted in times when I feel broken. People break your heart. I mean, it don't have to be family members dying. People can do you wrong. They can do you wrong and you know, affect your whole family, affect your whole life. But even in that, you got to learn to lean on me. When you're not strong, you need a friend, somebody to lean on. Right, carry on. See, he says, lean on me when you're not strong, that song does. Lean on me when you feel weak. Don't lean on your own strength. Don't lean on how you feel. Lean on him. Lean on his word. And I'm telling you, the more that we do that, the stronger that we get on the inside. The stronger that our spirit man gets. The stronger. And you know what? The battles will get easier. The easier. I mean, that's how come I'm like, Satan, you got anything else? Is that all you got? I've told him that at times. What's wrong with you, idiot? Is that all you've got? Greater is he that is in me. Now, years two, I've been down there where when I was a baby Christian, I'd be down there, and I'd be like, oh, God, my Lord, I preach the gospel. I go on the streets, God, and why are these people mad at me? And why is things going wrong? Why is my engine blowing up? God, why are you letting these things? I didn't know better. Then Teresa'd be in the closet praying. She used to go in, we had a walk-in closet. She'd go in that walk-in closet and she'd praying, man. She'd praying, praying. She calls me up one morning, I'm discouraged. You know, she don't know it. I'm discouraged, I'm fighting battles, things ain't working out at work. One of my main trucks is down, and I mean, we got plenty going on, you know. It seemed like all the pressures and troubles were never ending. Every time the phone rung, it was trouble, and blah, 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 you know. And so I'm pulling an engine out of one of, right back there, that's concrete back there. That was my shop. And I'm pulling an engine out back there. And the phone rings, and I mean, it almost made me mad. I'm like, I can't even do nothing without the phone ringing. How am I supposed to get this engine out and the phone ringing? But you know what? That phone call was Jesus. It was Teresa calling me. It was Jesus answering. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. I feel like singing tonight. I can't sing without the anointing, though. That's special without music. But you know what? I went in there and I answered that phone. And Teresa said, I was in the closet praying. And she said, the Lord said, she said, I don't know what it means. She said, but the Lord said it's over. And I mean, when she said that, it just welled up freedom. Nothing had changed out here. Nothing. But freedom come up on the inside of me. I probably hadn't been saved a year. Maybe, I don't know, something like that. But it came up on the inside of me, and I thought, glory to God, glory to God. It's over. I feel it. I hung up. And I was like, glory to God, Lord. I'm sorry. I've been complaining, Lord. You was coming through anyhow. You come through because Teresa was praying, Lord. You had to use her because I'm in unbelief. You had to use her to bring a breakthrough to me. I mean, that's what the Lord does through preaching when we need it. Or not necessarily when we need it. He'll actually build us up to the trial. And then we got to choose what we do with the knowledge we have in the trial. If I didn't, I'd be divorced. If me and Teresa walked away from the Lord, 100% guaranteed, we both know that we would not live together very long. We know it, Mac. I mean, everybody would be shocked. They won't ever experience it, but I'm just telling you. Everybody be shocked. Good God, Teresa and Scotty, what happened to them? And then all y'all would have to say is they walked away from Jesus. They walked away from unity. They walked away from love. They walked away from faith. They walked away from everything that held them together. They walked away. And then they fell apart. See, you can't walk away and not yield on the thing that gives you strength. This is going to bring you breakthroughs in your finances, in your marriage, with your kids. I don't care what it looks like. The Bible says, while we look not at the thing, we don't focus on the things that are seen in the natural. We don't focus on it. We don't lay around, oh, God, I'm going to lose my car if they don't come through. I know. I've been there before. and that tried to eat me alive. Tried to talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. And when I finally got straightened in my mind and got my mind right, I got on the Word of God, and then Jesus was able to deliver the things that he wanted to get into my life. The Bible says, he says, don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll put on. Don't worry about all this natural. And then he goes on saying, talking about the lilies in the field. They don't toil, and the birds and all that. He said, all of these things does the nations of the world, talking about people without God, they worry about it. They worry about their friends. They worry about their bills. They worry about dying. They got cares just eating them up to where every day they can't even enjoy life. I asked Damien, I said, I was out there on the porch. I said, what you gonna do? You going in the army like your brother? I ain't going in the National Guard like that, you know. That was him, wasn't it? I was talking to ask both of them. That was Blake. And Damien asked him what he was gonna do. He said, I don't know, man. I got many talents, you know, man. I'm this. He said this, and he said that, you know. And he said, but right now, he said, I'm a freshman in high school, and I'm enjoying life. Yes, it is. And then I responded. I said, good. That's good. You enjoy it right now. You just enjoy life. I said, and when God gets ready to bring his purpose, he'll do it to you. Well, I don't want to go over. Oh, God, boy, you better get that haircut. College ain't going to take you in. And, I mean, you might have a good smile and whistle a good tune, son, but life's hard down here. Why would I want to bust his bubble, Mac? No. He's living life, man. He needs to look at me and say, oh, Brother Scotty, he's 56, and he still kicks some devil's tail, man. Whoo, yeah, I got 56 to look forward to. But I could be up here, oh, I'm just an old broke down, old preacher. Been in it for 3 decades. It'll take a toll on you, friend, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Who wants that kind of life, man? Nobody. Nah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapons formed against us will prosper. Only no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. That guy that works for us, he says he's an atheist. But he asked me the other day, he was talking about Allah, you know, another God. He said, well, our God's the same God. I mean, it's the same God. I said, no, their God ain't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their God ain't the Jesus that I know. My Jesus wouldn't fly a plane into the towers. My Jesus wouldn't tell me to fly a plane into the towers. And then Travis, yeah, and have all them wives, seven or whatever many of them. Yeah. They going to hell. There ain't but one God. And there ain't but one way to this one God that I know, and his name is Jesus. There's gods that people come up with. Even today, see, Satan wants to create a God in your mind. Why am I going through this? Why would God allow? He wants to paint a picture of you that God is allowing these things to happen to you, that like he's sitting back doing nothing. You can't get an image of that God in your mind, because that ain't Jehovah Jireh, your provider. The Bible says in Psalms over there, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. See, you can't let the test and this world putting you in a test mold you to its image, mold you to its lack of faith, mold you to its unbelief, mold you to its untruth and ungodly thinking. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the Lord our God. He is the I is. He said, go tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. He said, am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell him I am. And then he goes over and he tells him, I am sent me. God, I am. He sent me. He said he wants you to let his people go. He decided he ain't going to do it. It made it worse on him. Do you know when you decide to fight for your right to be free and have joy and peace, Satan's going to sometimes turn it up a little bit. He's going to turn it on, Lou. You get some phone calls with everybody else in the spirit that's trying to get you to yield it. If I'm going through trouble, I'll run around with everybody that's getting a divorce or got one. Did you hear what I said? When I'm having a little marital trouble, I'll run into all kind of people all the time. Oh, Lord, they just got the bad end of the stick, you know. And you know what? If you yield to that, you'll feel hopeless yourself. I told a guy the other day, I said, I've got a lot. Me and my wife's got a lot. I said, I will never get a divorce, never. I said, you ain't ripping. And I said, the enemy ain't going to rip and tear and rob everything that we marched for Jesus and believed him for 30 years. I said, and I'll be dog if I'm going to let him come in and take any of it for either one of us. Oh, man. Wish mine would turn out like that. I just told him Jesus. Right? I just told him the way. People are like, oh, well, it ain't. It's about too late for that. Too late for Jesus? Are you serious? Too late for a miracle? Too late for a supernatural move of God that can roll back a Red Sea? I mean, too much. I mean, it's just too gone too far now. I told a guy one time, I just said something, going through something in his business, and you know, and I said, well, we'll pray about it. He said, has it come to that? Has it come down and we got to pray? And I'm thinking, man, you should have been praying before you even got here. Believe in God. How many knows the Bible says in Revelation, it says that me and you overcome these things by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. Still power in the blood and the words that come out of our mouth. I want to say Samson, but what? Who killed Goliath? Who was it? David. It was David. He goes out there, and here the enemies. Nations without God is out there, got the whole body of Christ scared. Send me out one, he says. Here comes David down there. Now, he done been in there with the Lord, Mac. He spends time with the Lord, I think, at home. Bible don't tell us that. But, I mean, he kills a lion and a bear. I mean, I can just see when them old black bear, man, I'd take off running, dude. I mean, I'd have to know Jesus has got my hand. Well, he did. He goes out there to feed his brothers and hears him out there. Who are y'all Christians over there? He didn't say that, but I'm saying it. Y'all bunch of weaklings. That's what this world and media is telling us right now. That we are not people of love. That we're not people of compassion. Because we don't go for things that they're trying to poke on us that's contrary to that Bible. Trying to get us to cower down to the very one. I mean, just like the Union State, I'm not going to get on that. But anyhow, just like he said, we the people, we built a strong nation. I'm like, nah, you don't even know what you are saying. Our God built this nation on biblical principles by his power, by people that would yield to him. This world is going down because people yielding to a wrong spirit and bringing darkness in. You know what? I'm in it, but I am not of that either. And I'm not going to get into all that. I'm going to go to the polls and vote. I'm going to cast my seed and I'll reap righteousness. I'm going to pray for them. I don't hate them. I'm praying for Biden and that administration. I'm praying for the Republicans to stay in a right spirit and don't get caught up in the rat race of that culture up there. to stay under the anointing that God has given them to get His will done in that place. Same as we have there in their trials, we're down here in our trials. Everybody's going to go through seasons. And He's putting Christians, He's putting moral people, not even just Christians, just morals. So when you are in your trial, overcome evil with good. We're starting, Aubrey, with, and Aiden, love your enemies, you know. Pray for your teachers. Don't talk about, you're going to have to pray for them in school, this being ugly to you, blah, blah, blah. They're just going to happen, Johnny. I can't thank that little angel. Them two little angels are never going to face any ungodliness in the first grade. That's ridiculous. They watch cartoons. Beavis and Butthead. Pokemon. That's a real popular one in the Christian thing. What is it? It's not Pokemon. It's, what's that boy? Where'd that boy? Harry Potter. Oh, Harry Potter. Whoa, my kids love Harry Potter. Where do y'all go to church? Well, we got a church, You ain't even read the book, lady. It's teaching rebellion against authority. Witchcraft. Don't let your kids have Harry Potter. I got to get off of that. That's the trial I ain't going to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just don't do it. Travis was having nightmares one time. He dreamed about Peter visiting. But he was having nightmares. And so we had just heard a preacher talk about things attaching themselves to things, toys and things of that nature. And it was real foreign to us, and I thought, man, Teresa, she jumps right on it. She don't think nothing about it. Oh, I got a clean house around here. We got a clean house around here. We got a clean house. And then I went out to Mom's and I seen that she didn't have no male angels. I looked on Mom, she had angels. She liked whatnots and stuff. Went out there and lo and behold, she had went to a yard sale and she had face masks, paintings, evil looking stuff on the wall. And I said, Mom, where did you get that?
Oh boy, that's just whatnots. That's all that is whatnots.
I said, well, I don't know, it ain't good whatnots. Nearly scared me, and I'm a Christian. And I went out there, I went and tried to find women angels in the Bible, and I couldn't find none. They're all male. And so I went out there, and I said, Mom, all your angels are women.
Oh, boy, there's angels all in the Bible. I said, there ain't no women.
I said, well, don't you find some men and get rid of them women? Men angels representing the Lord. But you hear Teresa, she goes out. I started noticing things. And I'm like, bless God, I'm not going to. And then I started hearing that so-and-so died. They needed another angel in heaven. I just heard it at a funeral. No, they didn't. We're that would be demotion. We're created in the image and likeness of God. That would be a demotion. No, that people are not leaving here and becoming angels up there. No, sir. The Bible don't say that. The churches preach it. Now, they don't mean to. I believe they do it out of ignorance. But that's a good reason to explain why they died early. Because they don't know. Babies get killed early and all that. Well, God knows what He's doing. God didn't take that baby. See, these testing times in our life is trying to get truth out of us so that we don't believe the truth. And it's not an innocent thing. We got to be stable in what we believe. We believe the angels are encamped around about us. We believe they're not feminine angels. I'm not against women. See, these testing times come when these things happen. My mama's not an angel. She has a new body, right? Daddy has a new body if he was born again. They're up there. They know one another. They're not angels up there glowing with wings. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It don't say to be absent from this body, you turn into an angel because God needs another little angel up there. No, he don't. There's nobody turning into angels. See, this testing will affect our faith and our finances with our kids. I mean, that the little leaven, the Bible says, leaven's the whole lump. Now, I don't understand what I'm preaching, but I know it to be true. That Bible says it, then I believe it. I believe it to be true, praise God. In the Bible, there's one place in the Bible where it says, Beth's got all these scriptures. She's just getting to enjoy the service because you can't stay focused and sit there having to figure out how to get these sermons on here. So she's getting a good service. But it says, don't think it strange when this fiery trial comes into your life like some strange things happen to you. Don't be caught off guard with these financial trials. Don't be caught off guard with these kid trials. Don't be caught off guard. You know, I mean, I'm losing my brothers and sisters. They're all older than me. That's expected. The Bible says that we're born and we're going to die. So I ain't going to be caught off guard by one of them departing from here and moving. They just move. That's what I consider it. My mama moved. She moved in a mansion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for... I want one man with all them jewels in it, don't you? I ain't going to have to buy nothing, but I want to walk on them streets of gold the Bible talks about. Them walls of onyx and pearls. When they get up there, they're going to be like, God's going to be like, boy, I could have given you all of this down there, but it's okay. Come on in, thou good and faithful servant, in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. I believe there's going to be humongous bass in a big bass pun for me up there. The Bible don't say it, but he come out of heaven bass dead. Jesus, everything come from God. Thank God he made cars, Mac. Me and Teresa come through town the other day, headed somewhere on Saturday. I guess we're going to get something. Here goes mule and wagon up through there. Hit the four lane up there. And Teresa said, oh, thank God that's not us. Whoo! We were right on our little truck there, you know. It'll take us half a day to go get a hamburger. But God made us wheels. And when she gets another one, she's going to go, vroom, she said. So I want to encourage you. Don't get caught up in the testing. Don't go on through it. Just pass it. Pass the test. Pass the test. Pass the test. Just pass them. Just make up your mind. Every test that comes to me, I'm going to yield God's way. Right there, you are already preparing to go on to college spiritually. You might be in grammar school, but you keep passing. Teresa, and I'll close with this. I forgot what to do, praise and worship. Mac and Johnny preached. That's okay. Teresa homeschooling Travis. I had to pray for her every day. Oh, God, help her, don't kill him. Oh, Lord, I know how her temper is when she gets, you know, help her, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I apply the blood of Jesus. I plead it. And I'm not being funny. I did it. Because we felt like the Lord wanted us to pull him out of secular school. And I couldn't stay there and be. So she became the principal, the teacher, the mama, all of that. And so I think because she wanted off on Friday, both of them, she'd tell Travis, okay, we'll do. She'd figure out how much work they gonna do. They got to do that week. And then she would divide it by four instead of five. And then she'll say, we can do this much, this much, this much, and we'll be off Friday. Or we can do it, and he said, let's do it. We won't be off Friday. But they wouldn't know we homeschooling, you get up at 9, 10. No, that's not Jesus. If you're going to homeschool your kids, put them in school at 8 o'clock. Get all the homework done. Don't let that test get them to where they don't be diligent. School helps my grandbabies. But anyways, so she did it. Well, come on up there, and he was in the ninth grade, I think it was, doing 12th grade work. Is that right? 10th? 10th, doing 12th. You went back to school. He was in the 10th grade doing 12th grade work. Because she pushed him and advanced him, and she would always tell him, he wouldn't even make bad grades. She would say, are there anybody in your class that makes straight A's? Are there anybody? And Travis would say, yeah, that so-and-so over there. She said, well, if they are, you can do it. So she pushed him. You know, when she pushed him, she didn't let him get lax and slack. And so he went on, and he went on, and I think in 10th or 11th grade, went on, got his GED, and went to work, and been working ever since. Finished the ninth, went and got his GED, doing 12th grade work, went and got his GED. We weren't letting him quit without the GED. You ain't going to quit without the GED. We're going to let you quit, but you're going to go get your GED. And we encouraged Beth, because if I want to open up a store somewhere, I need somebody with a GED. Beth to be a good one. Well, some of the government requires a GED before you work anywhere. Just pass the test. Pass it. Go by that inner man. Whatever, don't go by whatever it feels like, let's do that. Go by whatever God is saying. What do we feel convicted? Convinced. Conviction means convincing on the inside. This is the will of. I'm convinced Teresa's supposed to wash the dishes in the house. I'm convinced she's supposed to keep my clothes clean. I'm convinced she don't have to cook every meal, but I mean, I want supper when I come in. And it's okay every now and then if she wants us to fix us a salad, you know, or you know, let's fix a sandwich. But if she gets down there, you know, where it's just ungodly, I mean, we're going to have a little problem now. Well, if I get up here, I'm just getting lazy. I want to retire. And I go to making my family suffer because I'm lazy. That's ungodly. Just gear up, get strong in the Lord, and go make the bacon and bring it home. Fry it up in a pan. Don't let her never forget you are her man. Not woman. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word of God that tells us, Lord, count it all joy